Your girlfriend will hate Bird Dog's khaki shorts. She'll say the llamas on their website look like a preschooler's birthday party invite, not an apparel company. She'll say the sexual innuendos in their newsletters are meant for 7th graders, not grown men like you. She might even tell you that naming one of the products, quote, Fistover Columbus, is borderline offensive. But as soon as you feel their soft inner liner and see how great their stretch material makes you look, you'll never want to take them off. Go to birddogs.com/radio to find out for yourself. They'll even throw in a free tumbler. That's birddogs.com/radio.
Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Pajamas. Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
As much as the NFL is saying that they're not going to change the rules on pot and smoking marijuana, they only test once a year. For pot, you know when the test is.
I have no memory in my brain.
So if you fail that test, it's kind of a joke among NFL players. If you fail that test, then it's on you.
I'm not going to do anything that's going to be a distraction, you know, to this team or be an embarrassment to the organization.
They give you plenty of warning. You know when it's happening. You don't even get suspended for your first positive test, for heaven's sake.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
As I listen to that and remember how it was in the NFL, I recognize that's now old school. Oh, yeah. The rules have definitely changed. The testing has definitely changed. And it's no longer a once-a-year annual test that the players have to look out for. Nah, kind of dropped that. Whew, I've been here a long time, as in a long time. But that's some good work. Remember Isaac? Isaac was the best production guy, most creative production guy I've ever worked with. Just came up with all kinds of fun ideas in his brain and could implement them so quickly. I miss Isaac, but I'm proud of him. A husband and a father and covering the sport that he loves, which is MMA. So every now and then I see him on Facebook or connect with him over social. A lot of different producers and technical directors have worked on the show. That's good. I tell them, give me everything you've got for as long as you're here, and I'll turn you into a damn good producer. And for Isaac, it was, in fact, I'll tell them, I turn you into a world-class producer, and you can go work anywhere that you want in this business. Isaac got his first full-time job here on After Hours, and he was so thankful. And I was so sad to lose him because we had a really good relationship, but he definitely had other dreams, other ideas, and wanted to pursue his passion, which was MMA, but spent, oh gosh, almost 5 years here, 4 years on the show before he moved into a different realm of our business. So I do miss him. Man, trying to think back. Tom, Pete, Anthony, Isaac. Where do we go from there? Chris, Dave, Jay. That's a lot. And that doesn't even count the number of guys who filled in on the show. Never had a female producer. We don't have any females here at the network to choose from on the producer side. I hope I didn't miss anyone. If I did, I feel badly about it. But it's been a revolving door. Jay now has been on the show. He's coming up on his 2-year anniversary next month. Gosh, I remember we were celebrating my mom's 75th birthday. He was starting, he was training right after I came off of an August vacation. And after 2 days of training, now he had filled in on the show before, but after 2 days of training with Dave, he was on his own. And we were days away from football season kicking off. Man, that first football season was a crash course. But now he is actually ahead of me when it comes to the football and the audio. And I'm so proud of Jay and the producer he's turned into. And it's good now to see him train others like Manny, who is furiously scribbling away in there on a piece of paper. I don't think we need... Manny, okay, let's let the peeps in on what you're doing. I don't know that we need quite as many questions as you got in there. How many questions are you up to now for Ask Amy?
Oh, I wasn't counting, but you said to be ready.
Be prepared. Yes.
I must have at least 25 to 30 questions here. So.
I'm going to have to talk really fast.
Oh, yeah.
Or you know what? Maybe instead of doing anything else on the show, we'll just do Ask Amy for the final hour and a half. Why not? If you feel like you've got some really good questions. Are you having a hard time narrowing it down?
Yes. This is the tough part. I'm trying to put stars next to the ones that I really want to do or ask you. But this is tough. It's going to be like choosing a favorite child.
Okay. You just moved in with your girlfriend. No need to choose your favorite child just yet. That's awesome. Well, I'm glad to know. And of course, the listeners will be happy to know as well that you find their questions intriguing and creative. And what has happened, if you don't know the history of Ask Amy, we started this when After Hours was three nights a week, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we started it in the dead of the night on Saturday, moving into a Sunday morning. And you all really took to it. But since we moved it to middle show of the work week, the hump show, which is what we're doing right now, it's grown in ways that I never anticipated. And this is also crazy. A couple of months ago, we decided, actually might not even be 2 months ago, we decided that we would start posting on Twitter and Facebook in the evenings on Tuesday, because what we were doing was catching a whole bunch of people that maybe didn't listen to the show nightly on a regular basis because they have early work or because they just didn't hear that part of the show. They were in bed before we got to Ask Amy Anything. And so when we started posting earlier, we got questions from people that didn't even know we did it and probably still don't know that we answer questions live on the air. So yeah, it's definitely grown in ways that I never anticipated, but I'm happy that you all still continue to send questions. We're talking now 11 years, essentially the longest running feature on CBS Sports Radio. I mean, if you think about it, there are no other features that predate After Hours with its Ask Amy Anything. So we're proud to continue to offer it. And for those of you who are hearing the show for the first time, bring it on. Bring it on. Twitter is how you can reach producer Manny, his attention, After Hours CBS. And then our Facebook page too. I can't really ask him to do anything else right now because he is completely engaged in his prep for Ask Amy Anything. He's engaged in his prep. You guys crack me up with all your questions, and some of them are repeats, and you all get mad when you think I don't answer, except that I do answer a lot of them. It's not my fault you never go back and A, listen to the podcast, or B, answer or read the answer that I post on Facebook. Like this one guy who keeps insisting that I answer his question of whether or not I've ever ridden a motorcycle, either as a passenger or as a driver.
I did see that on the Facebook page.
And I finally said to him, I know I'm not supposed to answer any questions till after we get through Ask Amy, but I finally said to him, I answered last week, yes, I've been a passenger. Stop being snarky, you snarky snarkerton. Manny, what if you love this and it's your new favorite thing and you don't ever fill in again? Should we encourage Jay to take off now on the hump show just to take the middle show of the work week off so that you can come hang out with us and do Ask Amy? What if you love it?
That's what I'm hoping for. And if Jay does decide to take some more vacation, that's more money in my pocket. So.
Yes, so much money in radio. That's the thing. People get into radio because it pays so well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm going to be making Ohtani money.
Okay. I have no... You know what? I just don't even want to burst your bubble. I am so happy for you to make Ohtani money. Just enjoy. It's life-changing, the money you get when you work for our company.
Oh, yeah, indubitably.
It's a great word. As long as you're still happy and goofy, it means that you haven't yet run into the reality that we do not make Ohtani money here in this business.
You mean to tell me Marco Belletti doesn't make Aaron Judge money?
Maybe Marco Belletti does, but I do not. I've been living paycheck to paycheck most of my career, and I don't expect that to change anytime soon. If I were in this business, or if I was in business, to be famous or to have a lot of money, to be famous or rich, radio would not be the choice. This would be the last place you would go, to be famous or rich.
Unfortunately, I only grew up to be 5'9", so my dreams of being a baseball player crashed when I was about 15. So,
hey, there's a lot of other ways that you can realize your dreams. Although I will say that sometimes a closed door, we'll use the open closed door analogy, a closed door to one path or one dream that you thought would fit you perfectly or that you thought would be the best for you, that closed door leads you to something else that is a much better use of your skills, talents, and abilities, and maybe gives you more fulfillment than what you thought.
Perhaps. I do kind of wish I was making $25 million playing for the Yankees, but I digress.
Yeah. I mean, anything worth having is worth sacrificing for. You want to be richy rich? Well, then you better work your rear off. Let's go. I can't promise you that in radio. But maybe some famous TV host will think, Manny Rodriguez, he is the producer I need on my show. And then, easy street.
Maybe someday. That's the goal.
Is it? Be a TV producer is the goal? Or just to be rich?
To be rich, to have money.
Oh, for heaven's sake,
Manny.
Not
live paycheck to paycheck. Not be worried about paying rent now.
Again, why are you in radio then?
I don't have a face for TV.
Nice. I didn't say it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Mentioned 12 teams score at least 10 runs in Major League Baseball on Tuesday evening. Do you know that's the first time it's happened since 1894? I don't know who went back and checked, but that is a lot of research.
I remember that day.
So there's your nerd alert. Me, 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 me. I got to warm up the vocal cords. I wasn't planning on dropping a nerd alert on you. Nerd alert. Ooh, that sounded good. A dozen teams scoring at least 10 runs has not happened since the 1890s. I mean, what? Seriously, who went back and looked? You all have way too much time on your hands, but there are people who are paid to keep the stats and to keep track of trends or history in Major League Baseball. So I'm impressed by those people. I was thinking about asking you because I briefly mentioned this the last couple nights here on the show. Messi in Miami. Hottest thing going right now, to be sure. 200,000. It's, well, 200,000 is mild. 20,000 fans were in the stands in Fort Lauderdale when Messi was introduced on Sunday night. But did you know that there were millions of views online? Millions of views in the United States, millions more across the world who were watching that intro via the web. In fact, according to David Beckham, who is co-owner of Miami Inter Miami CF, the number is actually 3.5 billion with a B that watched that party they threw for Lionel Messi to finally be introduced to his new fan base.
To have people watching, to have 3.5 billion views
billion.
The other night on the presentation.
Billion.
It's a huge thing.
Yeah, you think? That's David Beckham on ESPN Deportes. He had more to say describing these last couple days around Messi's arrival and introduction as bat poop crazy, if you will.
It's been incredible. You know, obviously the moment that Leo announced was a big moment for us as ownership, me, Jorge, Jose, and our families. You know, it was a very emotional moment. But then obviously when Leo landed here 100 yards away a week ago now, it's been a roller coaster. You know, we obviously wanted everything to be perfect for the moment that he arrived, the moment that he walks into our facility, the moment that his family arrive in Miami. And it's been great. You know, the presentation the other night was incredible. You know, to see 20,000 of our fans and the eyes of the world on our club, on this league, on this with this sport. It was an incredible moment. So it's been great. Obviously, we saw Leo today on the training field. He looks fit. Sergio looks fit. He only landed a couple of days ago. So he's going to need a little bit more time. But it's an exciting time for us.
I can't wait to see what it's like as he plays with Miami and they make their way around the United States for various matches through the rest of the season, which runs into the fall. Now, there has been some back and forth over whose introduction had more worldwide views, Messi in Miami or Ronaldo with Al Nassr. Now, that reportedly received 3 billion views worldwide. Again, think about it. Soccer, not only the beautiful game, but by far the most popular sport globally. According to those who keep track of these things, Messi's arrival in MLS surpassed Ronaldo's introduction in Saudi Arabia. 3.5 billion. Just for fun, keep that number in your head. 3.5 billion of the 7.9 billion people who make up the world population, roughly. You know, we're not spitballing here, but obviously that's a rounded number. Is it possible that, what, 40% of the world was watching Messi get introduced? Or maybe that number is slightly inflated. 40% of the world's population? That seems like a lot.
Something smells fishy there.
Just, I mean, consider it. There are a lot of people out there that don't have internet. Not that they can't find a place to watch it. But I've been in lots of places where they don't have the capability to stream. So yeah, maybe those numbers are high. But even so, any type of number that has a billion after it would be incredible. Wowzers. So I was thinking about Miami and Messi and how that's the level of hot, meaning interest, attraction, trending, all of that jazz. I don't mean hot as in, well, the weather in Miami is definitely hot. But I didn't mean anything about him particularly, just that Messi in Miami, and I got to be careful because people accuse me of having crushes on the athletes that I talk about, which is so dumb. Anyway, that's a level of hot that right now, not many other athletes can touch. But Ohtani is definitely there. And I'm wondering, do you think Patrick Mahomes compares the offseason that he's had? Does he compare to the same level of hot, hot, hot that Messi and Ohtani do right now? Wemby, I think you could say that Victor Wembanyama, at least while he was going through the draft process, coming over to the United States from France, and then getting into Summer League in Vegas, and I know he only played two games before the Spurs shut him down, but what did we hear from our insider who was covering it? Nate Ryan with a TV channel. He's a sports anchor in San Antonio who was there in Vegas. He said it was like covering game 7 of the NBA Finals, that he's never seen quite that kind of buzz. So if that's the case, then we're talking three international athletes, which makes sense because you're talking global population, global interest. But Ohtani, Messi, and then Wemby. Ohtani, Messi, and Wemby. Three Musketeers. But could Patrick Mahomes, as the reigning MVP and the reigning Super Bowl MVP, touch that same level of popularity? It's an interesting question. The NFL is king in the United States, but we've seen what happens when the NFL goes outside our borders. London, Germany, Mexico, they're all about football de Americano. They love it. Even though my friends who are in Cuba and in Ecuador and even some places, well, Africa, they don't even know what football is. At least the parts that I was in are football, not their football. Sorry. They love the sport, though. Love the adrenaline, love the excitement, and want to get to know the sport. Even though, again, my Cuban friends would say, we don't understand that sport, your football. But could Patrick Mahomes, because of the popularity of the NFL, approach that same hot-to-trot level of interest? We'll hear from him. I am very impressed that Pat chose to report at the same time as the rookies. So the Chiefs rookies were among, what was it, 7-8 teams who had their rookies report to camp on Tuesday. It's happening. It's all happening. Mahomes was there with advice for the rookies. And also his ankle. Remember when we last saw him, he was guiding the Chiefs offense on a leg and a half, and they were winning the Super Bowl with their star quarterback on 1.5 legs. You can find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS. I'd love to hear from you. Also on our Facebook page. Don't wait, because Manny's already putting together his list for Ask Amy Anything. So it's part of our hump show, middle show of the work week. We try to have fun with it just over an hour from now. So Patrick Mahomes is ahead, and also J.C. Treader, NFLPA president, weighing in on what is this devaluing of running backs. I just don't, it's not new. That's the thing. But he weighs in. I'm a little bit nervous about taking a break, thinking Manny might not be paying attention. He's too busy scribbling down his questions for Ask Amy Anything. Are you in there? You ready to go?
Is this thing on?
We're good. Well, it better be on next hour when you have to start posing the questions. The Inquisitor. Manny is the fill-in Inquisitor. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio.
So, what are you thinking for lunch?
I can't. I'm getting new window treatments, so I gotta go home and wait around all afternoon for a design consultation just to get a quote. It's gonna totally mess up my workday.
Why don't you just go to Blinds.com?
Because I need custom products.
Blinds.com products are made to order and totally customizable. And you get upfront pricing right on their website to easily get your quote online.
But I want to see the products in person.
Blinds.com ships samples to you fast and free. They can even verify your measurements and handle the installation.
Wow, how convenient. Tell me more.
Blinds.com also has a huge selection of stylish shutters, shades, curtains, and options for motorization, even for your patio. Plus, their 100% satisfaction guarantee.
Well, you've convinced me. Let's go eat. I've got time now.
Shop Blinds.com and save 45% on selected products. Get 45% off selected products right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The second half of the baseball season is here, and each game means a little bit more. We're talking pennant races and wild card chases, with each pitch bringing us closer to the playoffs. The free Odyssey app lets you listen to live play-by-play of your local team, so no matter what you're up to, you'll never have to miss another game. Download the free Odyssey app today and keep baseball close by all summer long. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. Odyssey.
Pepsi Zero Sugar has a new, better flavor. A Zero Sugar Cola has never tasted this good. But we don't expect you to take our word for it, so we're putting it to the test.
Starting with me.
My mouth is watering already, so I think we can skip the drum roll and get right to the main event. Cue the fireworks. We have an official best Zero Sugar ever. It's delicious, it's refreshing, and it's so good you'll need to try it for yourself. Trust me. Pepsi Zero Sugar. Zero never tasted so good. That's what I like.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
McKinnon at his side, looks into the middle. Low snap on the ground, picked up by Mahomes. Moves up in the pocket, dodges a defender. Cuts and moves and pump fakes and runs from the 30. Pump fakes at the 33 and taken down. And I think he may have hurt his ankle. Mahomes may have hurt his ankle on the tackle made by T.J. Edwards. And he's hobbling on one leg. And favoring his right and hobbling dramatically to the far sideline. Not a good sign. Mahomes hobbling on fourth down. They'll punt.
You're listening to After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Call Amy at 855-212-4CBS.
Kevin Harlan, I miss him. I haven't heard his voice in a long time. On Westwood One, there were a lot of Chiefs fans who thought that was it. That was the end of their Super Bowl dreams going back to the postseason and the Chiefs and watching Mahomes lie on the ground in obvious pain. Now, do you guys remember? He continued to hobble and there was a, should we call it a spat? A spat with Andy Reid on the sidelines when Andy said to him, go get your ankle checked. Do you guys remember? Mahomes even threw a fit on the sidelines because he wanted to go back on the field. It was right before half. And as we now found out, he was threatened with getting benched if he didn't go and get his ankle checked out. Andy Reid had to pull a power trip. And yet, still, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. This goes back to January, I'm going to say late January, I don't remember exactly, third week of January maybe, and it was the Chiefs over the Jaguars, that part I remember, but it was certainly a painful ankle injury that Mahomes had to play through. It was a high ankle sprain. He did get back on the field, and it hurt, and we could see him wincing, and it did bother him through the rest of the postseason. We knew it wasn't going to be right until after the season was done. Well, as he showed up, along with the rookies, nothing like having a rookie mentality, showed up along with the rookies to Chiefs camp on Tuesday. He was asked, of course, about his ankle.
Feels great. I think even going into OTAs a little bit, I still was a little timid about running and cutting and doing stuff like that. When I got closer to vet mini camp and that later OTA stage, I got that confidence back in my ankle, and I'm sure I'm not going to be running a lot right now, but we'll be testing it, especially in these half gassers. So I'll make sure that it's ready to go, and I think I'm in a good spot with it.
Half gassers. I have no desire in my brain, my heart, my soul, anything to be running half gassers in the middle of July. I'm good. So Patrick Mahomes gives us a positive update on his ankle. He's definitely looks steady, stable, playing golf. And he and Travis Kelce, they won the match against the Splash Brothers in Vegas a couple weeks ago. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio.
Who the f*** is that guy?
At your quarterback. What advice does he give to the first-year guys, the babies, if you will, as they report to Chiefs camp and not just any old NFL training camp, but the training camp where the Super Bowl champions have raised expectations?
If you can get through Andy Reid's training camp, then you're going to be able to get through an NFL season. I think they have to have that mindset, and they got a taste of it during OTAs and vet mini camp, but they're going to really see what it's like in training camp, and they know that if they do it the right way, they have a good chance of anybody to win that Super Bowl.
Listen, with quarterbacks, the work's never done, and I've mentioned before, it's like being a farmer, man. You could just keep on cranking. So
really?
And we're always trying to give him new challenges with things, and he loves that and loves to attack those type of things.
What was that?
Hold it later.
I still have no idea what that was. Manny's in there dropping stuff just for fun. He's dropping it while it's dropping it like it's hot. That's the cool thing about Patrick Mahomes and the relationship he has with Andy Reid. First of all, Mahomes is the rare human being, the rare athlete who just wants another challenge, a new one. Let's do more. Let's do it better. Let's do it bigger. And have we yet seen anything that he can't accomplish if he sets his mind to? And then Andy Reid, who understands Pat, is rejuvenated by Pat, of course, and the fact that they get to work together. And what could Andy Reid possibly draw up that Patrick Mahomes can't execute in some way, shape, or form? And even last year, when they had this revolving door of weapons around Patrick Mahomes, right? So they did have Travis Kelce still. But it was three first-year Chiefs. In fact, one of them who came in at the trade deadline. Three first-year Chiefs who scored touchdowns in the Super Bowl. And so, yeah, if you have that core, Reed, and now obviously new offensive coordinator, that'll be an interesting storyline around Chiefs camp with no Eric Bieniemy. He's on to Washington, where he gets to work with Sam Howell. What do you think that's like? Marco is here in studio. You go from being in Andy Reid's system where there's so much creativity. You get to be a part of that and see how it works and help to execute with the greatest quarterback on the planet right now. And now you're in charge of the offense and calling plays, mind you, for Sam Howell.
I was going to say, I don't care what system you're running. You're going from Patrick Mahomes to Sam Howell. That's it. That's not a disrespect to Sam Howell. You're going from Patrick Mahomes to Sam Howell. I don't really know. There's not much more you could say to that one.
Right.
Really now, this is where Eric Bieniemy can show, and he can, you know, whether it's bringing some of that playbook and obviously having his own stuff and creativity, and that's great. And hopefully it works out for him and works out for Washington. But you went from Patrick Mahomes to Sam Howell.
Although I do give him credit, recognizing that he needed to get away from Kansas City to maybe add to his resume, number one, to debunk that myth that he's just a product of Andy Reid's system and has no responsibility, despite what the Chiefs have said about him over and over again. And we know he's interviewed with roughly half the teams in the NFL now. So I give him credit for essentially flying the coop, for being brave. It could blow up in his face, right? Because if Washington has another brutal year at offense, this could end up blowing up in his face. And yet he's willing to go try something new, which I love. I think it's impressive.
I agree. I would say it's very, dangerous is probably the right word, because he picked, in my mind, a difficult situation.
Oh, yeah.
He needed to get out on his own, which he didn't have to. It shouldn't have come to that. I'm in full agreement with that. I don't believe he should have got a chance before. However, he didn't. He needed to go out on his own. He needed to get out under the shadow. The problem is he went to an organization that's being sold, that's unstable, that's had all kinds of controversy, who has right now basically a lame duck head coach in Ron Rivera and a quarterback in Sam Howell.
And nonstop revolving door of quarterbacks since Ron Rivera got there.
So it's a really tough spot for Bieniemy to show, even if he's calling the right plays and having the right system involved, because he's under a head coach who might be one and done. Ownership might want to go their own way when they finally get in the door. And you've got a quarterback that we don't know if he's going to be the answer, because they've had 8 bajillion answers over the last 20 years. So this is a really tough spot, and he might be one and done, where he has to turn around and possibly go back to Kansas City and not be the OC, be what Matt Nagy was before that, which is the assistant to the other. It's a really, this is dangerous in my mind for Eric Bieniemy. Rooting for him.
Got to take risks. Got to take risks. Yeah. I'm proud of him.
Sometimes you don't
him.
Jump off the cliff, though, without a bungee cord. Like, that's, he went into a really tough spot.
Can you name the other quarterbacks on the Commanders roster right now? Their depth chart?
No.
Sam Howell, mm-hmm. who they're raving about. Mm-hmm. Jacoby Brissett now lands in Washington.
Okay. I was unaware of this.
And Jake Fromm.
Please.
You know, we have a lot of Georgia listeners.
We all know the meme, right, of Jake Fromm on a quarterback sneak on third down inside the Giants' 5-yard line
wrong.
On third and fourth down. You know what that was for? That is because Joe Judge is a terrible head coach, but it's also because Jake Fromm is not an NFL quarterback.
Well, he's listed as number 3, so he's going to be running the scout team
he
most of the time.
He could be listed whatever you want him to list as. He is not an NFL quarterback. And Joe Judge screamed it through a megaphone. He said, please fire me. And Jake Fromm is not an NFL quarterback.
Anyway, that's Eric Bieniemy's challenge. But back to the Chiefs, actually. Of course, the question around them after last season in which the AFC West was supposed to be so competitive and the Chiefs still dominated, still had the number one seed. And Mahomes is now holding both MVP awards. What about winning back-to-back?
There hasn't been a team that go back-to-back since the Patriots in, I think, 03, 04. So everybody's motivated by that. I mean, you should be motivated every year in the league. It shouldn't matter what the last year was. I mean, you should be motivated to do it again. When you have that parade, when you go through the offseason that I've been through, you want to do it again. And you only get those opportunities by winning the Super Bowl. For us, we want to make sure that we can build up and try to win that Super Bowl again, because that moment, that feeling is something that you just want to grab every single time that you get the opportunity to do.
I was asking this question earlier, only because we're just now getting into the training camp cycle. Messi in Miami, hot, hot, hot. Certainly Ohtani, hot, hot, hot. Wemby, though it's died down because Summer League is over, but three international athletes, for obvious reasons, that have global interest. Mm-hmm. Here in the United States, NFL drives the bus. Could Patrick Mahomes be on what is the current Mount Rushmore in sports with those three guys? Is he hot, hot, hot as those three?
Hmm.
I mean, it's the NFL, you know.
It is the NFL. He is right now the face of the NFL. I would say so. I can't think of anybody. With Tom Brady not there anymore. With the NFL now starting to turn the page into what we're seeing with the new quarterbacks, with the Mahomes, the Burrows, the Allens. Yes, I think we finally turned the page from the Brady era into mm-hmm. Patrick Mahomes fully. We were getting close. We were getting there. Yeah. But Brady still held firm because he was still there. Mahomes is the face of the NFL right now.
And he handles it so well. He really does. I mean, he's got that same attitude, approach, humor that we see on the field with his guys, same kind of positive outlook.
I mean, is it...
He handles it all really well.
Is it 4 years that he's been an NFL quarterback? I mean, the first year he didn't play. So the 4 years that he was actually on the field, right?
Yes.
And he went to the Super Bowl three times and has won it twice?
Wait, is it five? They've gone to five straight AFC championships. They didn't go his first year, right? Because Alex Smith got traded right to that. Yeah.
Okay. So he's only been to three Super Bowls in his 5 years.
Only.
Okay.
I love how you say that.
Okay.
He's only been to three Super Bowls in his 5 years.
Right. Right. Because you have the Burrow and the Brady. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Right. And Brady being in New England.
Yes.
Brady beat him in the Super Bowl, but he beat him in the AFC title game in New England. Right.
Was it D Ford offsides negated an interception by Tom Brady in Kansas City?
Right.
Yes.
Right. And then they melted against the Bengals in the second half.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Okay. Are you ready for the tease for the upcoming segment?
Okay.
I'm just going to read you a bit of a headline, and we're going to discuss. I don't think you're going to want to miss this. What did I just say?
A what now?
I don't know.
I was going to say, is there a new thing that I am unaware of? I'm very curious now.
Sometimes I just think there's something wrong with
me. I was going to say, I don't know what a sailor is. I'm very, very interested.
I was going to say Australian, and then I said sailor. Well, I was going to say Australian sailor, but instead it came out sailor.
Okay.
All right. All right, stop it. Although I'd rather hear his laugh than Kawhi Leonard's. Okay, let's try that again. A sailor, who happens to be from Australia, and his dog survived 3 months adrift on the ocean. How do they do it? You're going to find out coming up. This is something out of Castaway, for heaven's sakes.
Hmm.
And he actually looks like he could have been Tom Hanks in Castaway. Sailor, see, I did it right there. Can we take that out of the podcast? Sailor and dog survive 3 months adrift on the ocean before they're found. They're alive. He and his dog.
Hmm.
Yeah. See, you're not going to want to miss this.
I'm interested. I'd be more interested in about a sailor, but I'm interested.
And I'm not going to tell you how they were saved either. This is all part of the story. This is way more interesting than anything happening in sports right now. Could you imagine?
Curious.
This is a real live castaway.
No, I can't possibly
fathom.
Can't no,
either.
3 months?
Oh my gosh. 3 months.
No.
3 months.
Now, you tell
drifting me. Drifting on the Pacific Ocean.
You tell me.
What about sharks?
Again, you tell me like Castaway, as much as difficult as that is, 3 months on like a deserted island, I'm listening. 3 months adrift, floating around on what, like a raft or something?
No. Yeah, I'm going to tell you.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
No. Nah, you got me on like a yacht. You can float around as much as you want.
A yacht. Yeah, but you're going to run out of food and water, though, even if you are on a yacht.
Yeah, I can handle that. I can do that.
All right.
I can do that before you got me drifting on a log in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. No chance.
It's a new word I made up. Australian sailor. Sailor. It just came out of my mouth and it took me a second to realize that wasn't a word. But your face, though, said it all.
Well, like I said, I was intrigued. I thought it was something that I was unaware of. Sailor. I'm looking forward to that.
Right.
I don't know what a sailor is.
All right.
I'm curious.
At least it's just one of us making a fool out of herself on national radio.
I think I do that every time I crack the mic, no?
No. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Mr. Perfection. Here's Marco Belletti.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. Just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip that started from this tropic port aboard this tiny ship.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
When I was a kid, I caught the show in reruns, syndication every now and then. Fascinated by it. Couldn't get enough of it. Couldn't understand why they were stuck on the island and was genuinely concerned for them and how they were never going to be able to get off the island. I remember being really upset about it when I was a kid. So funny, though.
For those who are my age, this is Gilligan's Island theme song.
Oh, yes, look it is. Up. I'm look sorry, it up on Gilligan's
the
Island.
Look it up on the Wikipedia.
Oh, but be careful what you see on Wikipedia. Wait, I got to ask this because I'm not confident. It was in black and white, right? Gilligan's Island was black and white?
Well, the YouTube video that I got the theme song from, mm-hmm. It's in color.
Oh. Well, since I did know that Gilligan's shirt or sweater was red, I think.
That's right.
Then I guess it wasn't completely in black and white, but I swear I saw some episodes of it that were in black and white. I know that I did.
I mean, we're talking about 1960-something, so that's about the time that we got color television, right?
Is it? I have no idea. I wasn't around then. okay, but yeah, right. I do remember that his shirt was red, but I swear there were some that were, maybe there were flashbacks that were in black and white, but now I'm looking at some of the clips, and I can see them. It was funny, but I do, as a child, remember getting really upset because I couldn't understand how they were unable to be rescued. And what if that ever happened to me, that I would never be able to get off of the island? Such an iconic TV show. And honestly, I mean, some of the actors that were on it were also really incredible too. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Not quite the same situation for an Australian man and his dog, but they did survive 3 months drifting in the Pacific Ocean by, are you ready, eating raw fish and drinking rainwater. I mean, that's brilliant.
Mm-mm-mm.
Isn't that what Tom Hanks did in Castaway when he was stuck on the island after his, well, it was a plane crash / drifting, right, to get to the island where he was there for 5 years, I think. This is a real-life castaway. Apparently, Timothy Shattuck, 54 years old, and his pup, Bella,
adorable,
were found alive in the Pacific, about 1,200 miles from land.
What are you doing?
1,200 miles. Oh, my gosh. A Mexican tuna boat spotted them.
Look at us coming to the rescue.
And look at us. Are you claiming it? Mexican heritage? That's us.
Vamos, Mexico.
I'm so proud. Orgulloso. So proud of that Mexican tuna boat. Right. So they spotted him. And then the company, after they rescued Timothy Shattuck and his pup Bella, they put out a statement. So some of the details are sketchy, but this is what Shattuck said. Now, he does look like he was right out of Castaway. He's rail thin. He's lost a ton of weight, obviously. And he's got a big, old, giant, bushy beard.
Gray, too.
Yeah, definitely gray. These were his comments to an Australian news station. I've been through a very difficult ordeal at sea, and I'm just needing rest and good food because I've been alone at sea a long time. Otherwise, I'm in very good health. I mean, he's big smile on his face, hair stuck out in all directions, plus this really thick, bushy gray beard. If Bob ever does that, it's a deal breaker. Anyway, he and his dog were stuck on his catamaran. Okay, so they weren't on a raft. This is not quite like Castaway, where he had to build his own raft. His catamaran lost its communications equipment somehow. There was a storm that damaged his vessel and wiped out electronics. And so for 3 months, they couldn't do anything but drift. And they ate raw fish I guess sushi. Raw fish and rainwater for 3 months. Whoa. That's crazy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.